So could you tell me your name, your address and date of birth, please?
Marjorie Evans. My date of birth, 7/3/33.
Great. Tell me a little bit about your background then. Your mother, your father, that kind of thing. What they did for a living, and whether you had any brothers and sisters.
My mother never worked. She worked when she was a young girl in the hospital in Cardiff, cleaner, and then my father worked underground in the colliery. They'd only been married 3 years and he lost his limb, he had his leg off. And then I was born, they were married 5 years before they had me. And then my mother died when she was 59. And my father died when he was 90.
Right. So did he work after he lost a limb?
Oh, yeah. He never lost a day's work. He was in hospital until everything healed and he had an artificial limb. Not the limbs they got today. It was all the straps around his body everywhere, you know. But it never held him back at all. He even walked from Abercomboy to the top of Bulfer on a Sunday morning, because there was no buses, to get to work and walk home. And sometimes, by the time he'd get home, the stump of his leg would be bleeding, but he'd never lose a turn. He was marvellous, mind. Yeah.
So did he lose his limb in work?
Yes, he was caught. Someone switched the coal cutter on as he was coming out of work, and he got caught up in it. And the machine took him with him, you know, and they took him into hospital and they had to amputate his leg, you know. Yeah. So, and he came out of Aberdare Hospital in, I can't say the date or the month to be exact, but he came out like, say, a month and the whole of the hospital burnt down. That was the Aberdare Hospital burnt down and they had to rebuild a new one then. That happened then for him, you know. So
did he go back to work in the colliery?
Yeah. Oh. But he went as a pumps man then. Oh, yes. Yeah. But like I say, he never lost a turn, like, you know. Yeah. Marvellous. And he'd walk up that hill without a stop. Oh. And he walked up that hill till he was 87 without a stop, you know. Oh, with a walking stick, see. But never complained over it, like. Marvellous, isn't it? Yeah.
So was your mother from Cardiff? Or was
no,
she...
my mother was born in Abercomboy.
Right.
You know.
So were they both from Abercomboy then?
Yeah, my father was from Merthyr.
Right.
You know. And then they met up and they started courting. And then what happened then? My father's mother died. Not long after he was born, a couple of weeks after he was born, she went out to peg clothes out on the line one day, cut her leg, and then, back in those days, they did it with cotton wool and things, and she had septic. It was septic, they called it then, wasn't it? Poisoning. And then it went through her body and she died. So his grandmother reared him, and of course there was others in the family as well, but everything was supposed to be left to my father. And when his grandmother died, what they did, all the family came and took everything. There were sovereigns there and everything. So he never even had nowhere to live, really. So my grandmother then, my mother's mother, took my father, came to live there, because he had nowhere to live, because he was courting my mother. And they got married when she was 18. Because they never, like today, they lived together. They never did in those days. And so they got married when he was 18. And they were in, what should they call, rooms, wasn't it? They used to be in the front room then. And that's where they were. But that house that my brother's living in now, next door to Mrs. Powell, only the family have ever lived in that house. My grandmother was the first one. And of course my grandmother had 10 children, but 4 of them died. And so they were all living there, and my father and my mother as well. Yeah.
Incredible.
It was, wasn't it, you know. And my grandfather left my grandmother with all those children. And she never knew until the day she died where he was, whether he was alive or anything. They never ever knew. But extraordinary woman, and she lived till she was 96, you know. Marvellous, isn't it? Yeah. But she moved to London because my aunties went up in service, they called it then, wasn't it? And they went up there to live. So my grandmother went up to Slough to live then. So
were you born in that
house? I was born in that house.
In that house. So you've got one brother.
One brother, yeah.
So it's just two of you?
Just two of us.
After all those children?
Yes, yeah. Just my brother and me. Only two, my mother and father had, me and my brother. Which is my grandmother had the 10 children, see what I mean? But, so I never met any of my father's, my grandparents on that side. I met the aunties, but that was it, you know.
What about education then? Where did you go to school?
I went to Ynys Lloyd School, but it turned then into a Welsh school. And I left there when I was 14, but I went to Abercorn Boys School first. I was 2 years old when I started school, because my brother was born, and I always say the story, I'll tell him when he comes in. I always say they put me in school because he was born.
So you left school, you left Ynys Lloyd, which was a secondary school.
Secondary school.
At 14. How did you feel about leaving school so young?
Oh, I didn't mind, you know. I didn't want to go any further. I just didn't want to go any further with my education then, you know. So I just came out of school in the March. I was 14 March the 7th, and I came out of school the 20th of March, and then I started then April the 6th in the factory in Sawbells.
So did you know anybody who worked in the factory when you went there?
Yeah, one of the girls living in the street, she started there, the older were Jean, and so she said it was all right there, you know. So and my sister then, Evelyn Hodges, she wanted to start as well. So the two of us went together to work there.
Was there a job there for you, or did you just go?
Oh, we had to go up and have an interview.
Yeah.
We had to go up to the factory first and ask if we could have a job. And then they started us the following week, you know.
Do you remember what the interview was like?
Well, I can't really think about it now. All I can remember is going into this office and speaking to Mrs. Dow, and who was the manager then, the manageress, and she just asked questions and everything, and then we just started work, you know.
What was she like?
She was very strict, and we had to wear turbans because we were on these big machines. And of course, we didn't like to wear turbans on our head, did we? So we used to make a turban up in the shape of a turban on your head and put it at the side. And when she'd come down the factory room, we'd put the turban on top of our heads. <You can know. laughs> But we used to. They were very strict then as well, you know. But it was a good life. I tell you straight, the best years of my life in working was in the factory. You hear such talk, good and bad, about factories, don't you? But I can honestly say I met some of my best friends in the factory, and we're still friends all these years, you know.
So you started work there after this interview.
Yeah.
Did you have to train up then for a job?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So tell me about your training, what that entailed.
Well, I had to go with someone else who was working on these machines. They said, we think we'll put you on the machine, so you'll have to train. Well, when they showed us, they were little machines then, but I'd never seen a machine before, wasn't I? But we got into it all right. The person training us was marvellous, you know. And just got into doing it then, liking it, you know, and, went from there.
How long did the training take?
I should imagine You must have trained for about a month, I should imagine, you know, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot to take in then when you were onto a machine to work, and dangerous because everything is spinning around, isn't it? But yeah, we you know, we were all right, like, you know. And as I say, we went from there to go on to those Westminster, the big machines then, you know, from winding one, making one coil to go into a television and wirelesses a day, at a time. We went onto the Westminster machines to doing 10 at a time, you know, which they brought out. So, like I say, you were quite capable of doing it then, because you were able to do the one machine then.
That's what I was going to ask you. What were you making? Can you explain to me what you were making, and, you know...
Well, what we were doing, coils, they were called. So what it was, this big machine, and then you would put a strip of like copper, and you'd have a solder iron and a reel of solder, and you'd take a piece of one of the reels of wire down, pull it down, and then you'd solder it to this piece of copper, and you do that to 10. Then you turn the machine gently to start, and then you'd have a big pedal down on the floor, and you'd have to gently do it so that it would start up, and then you'd speed up, and then paper, a big roll of paper at the bottom would come up, or I don't know how wide it would be, very wide, to cover that, and each one would go such a speed, would come up and cut on its own the size, and wrap around this, and then another roll of coil wire, then another strip of paper, until it came to about 6 inches. Then we'd stop it when it would wind to, say, the clock would go to 2,000, I'd say. And then we would solder each one of those again and cut them, and then have a cutting knife, then put it up top speed and cut each of those into 10 coils. And then after it would stop, we'd take them off and then pile them at the side of your machine. And those would go into wirelesses, and then eventually televisions, you know. So, you know, it was a pretty dangerous thing to use then, to do. But once you got trained into it, then you could do it, like, you know.
Did you have to... Did they, in the factory now, did they assemble the whole television in the factory?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, they used to assemble everything.
So did they assemble the televisions in the factory?
Yes, yeah, the whole lot. Then there were bays, we called them. There were about 5 bays, so that we would do the coils. Then they would have to go into a waxing, big waxing pot then, which was about the length of this room. Then they'd go from there. Then other people in the next bay would be soldering all little charts up onto Bakelite, and they'd build it, and then they'd do the cabinets and everything, and then the whole television would go from there out then to the factory, to wherever they were sending them.
Right.
Yeah.
And were they making televisions from the time you went there?
Oh, no, not in the beginning.
No. Could you tell me about that then?
Well, all they were doing then was making wirelesses and like a gramophone thing, then I would call it, like, isn't it? All different things like that. It was a number of years after that the telly started coming then, like a few years after. And then we eventually, it was all televisions then, the wirelesses were going out from there then, you know, like that.
What did you feel personally when you started doing the television? Was it a sense of kind of excitement? You know, it was quite cutting edge, wasn't it?
Yes, it was really, because the televisions were coming out then. But that's when we moved on to the big machines on the Westminster, because this is when everything was multiplying, wasn't it? They wanted more of this, more, you know. So, Yeah, and there was a lot of people working there, you know. But the one thing about the factory was, if, like, you had any qualms about your bonuses, you know, they wouldn't pay the bonus out, or there was some bit of bother going on about things, and we thought, oh, well, we're not going to put up with this, really. What you could do in those days, which you couldn't do now, on the lunch hour, we'd go down to Murphy's and ask them if we could start there, which is another factory down the road. And we would be able to finish in Sawbells through this today and start in Murphy's tomorrow.
Did you do that?
No.
No.
We came back up and told them that they wanted us in Murphy's, which we had them over a hanger, really, because nobody was trained for the big machines, only us girls. And, you know, even then, you knew that you were put on then in parts, you know? And that wasn't fair. Like, they wanted to cut your bonus down or something, and knew that we were working hard to get the bonus out or raise the target. So we'd say, well, we are finishing today and we're starting down there tomorrow. So then they'd come around then, which was having them over a barrel, really, wasn't it? That even back then, you can't just play around with people, can you? You know, if you're doing your work properly. So they'd put our bonus right then and we wouldn't finish. So it was there till I finished myself, like.
Tell me, what did you have? Do you remember your first wage packet and what you had?
Yeah, my first wage packet was £1.06 bringing home. And that was working from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. And wouldn't have three lunch breaks. We'd have one on a dinner hour for about an hour. And then I'd have to leave the house in the morning at 10 to 7, 6:45, to get from Abergwynboy to Aberdare. And then from Aberdare, run over to the train station, catch the train up to Rickos, and then walk over half a mile up to the factory as well,
so
to start.
How long did it take you to get there in the morning, did you say?
I'd start out of the house at 10 to 7, and I'd get into the factory by 8 o'clock. But in the meantime, that was going from Aberdare, Abergwynboy to Aberdare, from Aberdare up. And then the same back in the evening, you know.
So this £1.06, that was the basic pay?
That was the money, yes. Unless we earned bonus after. They brought the bonus scheme in.
Yeah, when did they bring the bonus scheme in then?
I think we were working for quite a while before we had the bonus scheme. It was just the £1.06, you know, that we had to come home.
How did that feel to you? I know you were young, but how did it feel to you at the time, you know, that amount of money?
Well, it was a lot of money then, really, you know, when you think about it. But the thing is, by the time my mother paid my bus fare and train fare, and I had pocket money, as they called it, and my lunch to go to work, really, my mother was paying me to go to work because she didn't have a lot of money out of it at that time, you know.
So did you used to give your mum?
Oh, yeah. Always give my money. I used to give my money to my mother up until I got married. Yeah, and I had pocket money. Yeah. And my husband did. Both of us, that's what we did in those days. You didn't give your mother so much out of your pay. You just gave your pay over, like, you know. And we never thought any different of it then, you know. But that's how times change, isn't it?
How much difference did the bonus do to you, make to your pay then?
Well, it started off then. I mean, it's gradually, it went up then to, like, say, sometimes we'd have £2 going home, then we'd have £2.20 going home. You know, not a vast difference. Until the wages started climbing then, you know. But to us, it just seemed normal. You know, when you think back, when you used to have for the two of you to live on, if I wasn't working after I got married, £9 my husband used to bring home a week. Where do you think today? What is £9 today? What would you get out of that? But there you go, like, isn't it? This is the way the world was then.
Did your pay, how did it go up over the years then? Do you remember what you had, year to year? Or do you remember how much you had when you finished?
When I finished, no, I can't really remember back. How much pay? That only thing that sticks in my mind is the £1.06, because I think back to that and I think I can't understand. I mean, you pay £1 for a bar of chocolate today, and I think I can't believe it. Like that you worked all those hours, 5 days a week, and you didn't. Today they finish early on a Friday. You know, they work half day on a Friday, but we didn't. You know. They started introducing then working a Saturday morning.
Was that overtime then?
That was overtime then. Yeah. And working on in the evening, because I worked on one evening. I always remember that. And I was working the machine, and I used to always pull my chair up with my leg to go back to the machine after putting things on. And there was a big piece of glass sticking out of the box. And I had an accident to my leg, and I had 9 stitches in it. So one of the fellas I was working on took me straight to the doctor to have it stitched. And I was off work then for a fortnight, and they never paid me for that, you know. And I never claimed anything. Can you imagine what I would have claimed today? Because I've still got the scar on my leg.
So you didn't think you could claim compensation?
Well, we never thought about it. You'd never think of putting a claim in for anything. I was lucky to have, I didn't have much money for the fortnight I was home, but you never thought about putting a claim in for disfigurement or anything. But I suppose I should. I was going to be a ballerina, but I couldn't do it after having my leg like that.
Only joking.
About working the factory, was it okay?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
From day one, you loved.
Oh
it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I say from day one, because after I started there, I my father didn't want me to go to the factory. So he said, "No, you're not going to no factory to work." But I wanted to go because my friend was going as well. And after about a month, I thought, "Oh, I don't know whether I'm going to like it." Yeah. And I came home and I said, "I don't think I like it in the factory." "Well, you wanted to go, so you have to stick it out," like, sort of thing. And I did. And I was glad because, like I say, it was one of the best years of my life as far as being single was working in the factory then.
You said your dad didn't want you to go. How was working in a factory seen on the whole, you know?
Well, factories always had a bad name, didn't they? I think, you know, they tend to... You're not going to a factory to work. They'd rather you go to a shop or in for nursing or whatever, you know, a different profession. But I never knock the factory. There's good and bad everywhere, isn't there? And it did have a bad name, a factory. I don't know why. I suppose during the war it had a bad name, didn't it, as well? You know, when you were working in the munition factory and that.
Why do you think that was then?
I don't know. There was a lot of talk about it, you know, and there was a lot of things going on, which goes on today, like, in it, with people having affairs and different things. More so, I think, during the war that went on as well. But I can honestly say it was the best years of my life as a single person was in the factory, you know. And a good thing came out of it was that I met my husband, didn't I?
All right.
So, I mean, he was only 15, I was 14 when we started going out together. So, you know what I mean? That's one of the best things that happened then.
So he was working there as well, was he?
Yeah, yeah.
What was he doing?
He was, at the time, he was, he started as a tool maker, he was, but he was coming round filing irons and things, you know, our irons that we had to use to solder and that. But no, he did the rest of his training, and he's qualified tool maker then. Yeah. And then he went to the, when he was 18, he went to the Air Force. You know, he went up to Scotland, and then when he came back, to Sawbells to work for a while, and then he went up to Welsh Trust then, and he was a foreman up in Welsh Trust then, and he was a toolmaker up there, like, you know.
How many people worked in Sawbells when you were there?
Oh, hundreds of people there. I can't really say how many, but There were a couple of hundred working there, you know.
And how, where was the balance, men to women? Was it?
Oh, there were more women than men, but there were quite a lot of men on the line as well, you know, doing the heavy work, you know, with the cabinets and with the tellies and everything.
So yeah. They were on the line and they worked the and they were doing other things.
Yes, oh yes, there was, you know, in the stores. You know, all the machinery and everything they had to see to. But, oh yes, there was quite a lot of men working there as well, you know.
Were there mixed lines? Or?
Yes, yeah. Quite a lot of women were on the lines mostly. But then the men were coming in. But as I say, they needed them for the heavier jobs, didn't they, you know?
Can you describe, you know, your first day at work, can you describe the place to me, what it was like walking in there?
Well, when you walked in, to me, I was told I would be working on the bays, and I didn't know what a bay was. And when I went in, all I could see was, well, you take it like a hangar aerodrome. It's a massive place like that. And all you can see is rows and rows of people, you know, with a dividing line between each section then. Well, it was frightening when you went in first to see something like that, because I'd never seen anything, you know. I didn't know what a bay was then. And I think once you get introduced to the people you're working with and they train you, and then you form your own bunch of friends, which I was very fortunate to have a marvellous bunch of friends. And I think I was very lucky then, you know, that I fell in with the right people as well. So, because you're very vulnerable at 14, aren't you? You've never been out into that world and you don't know what you're going to see or what you're going to mix with people. But I was fortunate. And it proves it today. I'm 81 and I'm still friendly with the people I met when I was 14, you know. Mm. As I say, I'm in touch with Barbara, the one in Glenheath. She was unable to come up. Or I would have asked her to come up today, but she was unable to come up. But like I say, there's four of us left now out of all those people, like, you know.
How many of them were there of you?
We were 10 altogether when we started, and then we came down to 8. But now we are 4, like, isn't it? Mm. So one is 90, one is 86, the other one's 81, and I'm 81. So that's quite a number of years, isn't it,
yes,
to be together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So...
What did it sound like when you went in there?
Oh, noisy, very noisy. All the machinery going, you know, everything. Then there was a big stores then, you know, where everybody used to bring the wires and the coils and everything out to you. It was something you've never seen before, you know. It was, like I say, it was just like a big aerodrome when you walked into it. And everything was hollow and lights everywhere in it, you know. It wasn't working in a room like this with with daylight. It was all lights on, wasn't it, you know?
Can you remember any smells and things as well? Did it smell of anything?
Oh, yes, because there used to be a big waxing machine. Because when we finished winding our coils on these machines, then they would go then on like a conveyor, and then they would take them and they'd have big wax pots, oh, massive, on big wire trays, and they'd have to go into the wax. So you could smell all this wax coming up, like, you know. Yeah. But you just took it in your stride, didn't it? It was just something you did every day, wasn't it, you know? So.
Did they just play music, I think?
Yeah, we used to have music on. And in the canteen then, when we'd go for our lunch, they'd have like workers' playtime and things like that. And yeah, it was good. It was good, you know.
Did people used to sing to the...
Yeah.
On the line and things.
Yeah.
While you were working, yeah?
Yes, we used to sing, you know. And we haven't, as I say, it was a lovely atmosphere there, you know. And in those days, there was more jobs out. People were being employed all the time, weren't they, you know. Because people were leaving to get married and have children, and there was work there for others to come in and have jobs. It's so different to what it is today. It's sad today for the youngsters, I think. Mm. You know, because there's a lot out there that want to work and they can't, can they? You know, so...
Do you remember any of the songs you used to sing?
Oh, gosh. No. But, I mean, all the records that used to be out then, wasn't it? You know, like Frankie Lane and all those, you know, and... well, I can't think back. There's a lot of them. Doris Day, all those, in it. You know, it was lovely. Then we used to meet up and go to the dances then, on a Saturday. That was the highlight of our life, wasn't it? Going to the dance down the Welfare in Aberarmon.
Right, well, I'll ask you about that in a bit.
Yeah.
I'll just go on with the facts for a minute. What about talking on the line? Were you allowed to talk?
We were allowed to talk, but you know, they didn't want you to talk. You had to concentrate on your work then, you know, because the foreman would be walking around all the time. Mr. Bowen, his name was, you know, and he was very strict. You know, he used to be looking at us all the time that we were making sure you weren't talking, you were doing your work, because you had to get that amount out by the end of the day, like. I mean, we had to get our target out. That's what we were there for, you know. So therefore, you couldn't stop and have a chat then all the time, you know.
How would they set the target then?
Well, they would just come down and they would say to you, like, we need you to do, like, I can't remember how many, but say, I'll just say 500 a day. So you'd have to keep working. But if your machine went down, like, say, the paper wasn't cut in, then you'd have to have the toolmaker to come then, and he'd have to repair your machine. So you'd have to book off. But if you were going to be booked off for more than an hour, then you'd have to go on to... You couldn't just sit around. They'd put you on to another job then to do something else, you know. You wouldn't just sit there and wait for your machine to be repaired. You'd have to go, say, come with me, and you'd go, and if it is only... cleaning something or doing something different, you know. But, you know, you just couldn't waste your time, you know.
Were you on the same machine, you know, apart from when it broke down? Mm. Did you have your own machine?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the one in that photo now. Yeah, you had your own machine then.
Were you responsible for maintaining it in any way?
Well, no. I mean, I had to make sure that it was running, you know, perfect. But there was always someone who was there just looking after our 8 machines. Yeah. Because, I mean, they must have cost a bomb, those machines, you know. To go from winding 1 coil, which we did when we started there, to winding 10 coils, you know. And when they brought them in. And that's why I went up to Welsh Trust to work. Because the foreman up there, and John, my husband, was working there. He was a foreman as well. And the manager, Ray Davis, knew that I could work the coil, those machines. So he wanted me to come up and train people up there, which I did then, you know. And I worked up there for 5 years on them.
Did you was it much more difficult going on the big 10
Oh, coil? Yes, to start, because we had to be trained for that. There was they were more dangerous then. You know, there was a lot more to it then, you know. And I'm putting myself on a pedestal, but it was only certain ones went on to those machines then. Because a lot of them were afraid of the machine because it was so big then.
Yeah.
But like I say, in the beginning, yes, it was frightening. But then we got that we used to run our hands over it when it was going full speed and things, because it was part of us then, wasn't it? We'd been on it for so long, like, you know. Yeah, we enjoyed it, you know.
Were you given more money when you went on the big machine?
Yes, we were given more money then, see.
But you don't remember how much?
Oh, no, I can't remember how much. But then, of course, it was more responsibility. And then, so we just worked that then until I finished, like, you know. And that's when we trained Aino, you know, when she came over then from Norway. She came over here and she couldn't understand no English, ever. And we had to explain to her how to work these big machines. But she was great, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, it was happy times there, I got to say that. Yeah.
But you say that you thought the machines were quite dangerous then, were they?
Yes, they were, because... You know, there was so much involving, like a sheet of paper would cut with a big knife, a blade then, at the bottom of the machine, that side, you know, the long blade. It would come up, cut that paper to a certain length, but it even had to go around those 10 coils without a crease in it. So we had to make sure that it was folded with our hands, so your hands were in touch with that all the time that it was working then, which was dangerous, really. But it's the only way we could get the paper to go in straight, you know.
Were there guards and things?
Oh, yeah, there were guards there, but not over the coils, over the blades of the knife, like down the bottom, like, see. Go on.
Do you remember any accidents on the machine? I know you had the accident with the glass, but... You know, with the machine.
No, not really. None of us had an accident, really, you know, with it. So, you know, we were lucky in that way, like, you know.
Were you made aware of health and safety?
Oh, yes. We had big notices up about the safety, you know. And that's why we're supposed to be wearing, the main thing was to cover your hair, because all this was spinning. And I mean, I used to have hair down to my shoulder, past my shoulder. And it's supposed to be tied back and a turban. But like I told you, when we take the turban off, and then when Mrs. Dow would walk down the bay, we'd see her coming down, we'd pick it up and put it on like a turban, like they do in Alibaba. But luckily we were, that we never had an accident, you know.
What about other protective clothing? Did you have to wear an overall, for example?
Yes, yes.
Was that provided by the factory? Or
No, it wasn't provided. You had to provide your own overall. Or you had to wear an overall, yeah. But as for anything else, yeah, no specs or anything, you know. Just our hair was tied, supposed to be in a turban and an overall then. So some just used to wear a little tabard and things like that, you know. It's all according to what overall you want, like, isn't it? But no, there was no protective clothing. No.
Was it a mixture of married and single women?
Yes.
And what about people with children? Did they come back to work?
Yes, quite a few came back to work after they had children, you know. I didn't go back to work, as I say. Not because we were well off, but just that I wanted to stay home with my children, you know. I didn't go back to work until my children were in the secondary school then, you know, and able to not look after themselves, but were able to know that I worked then in the school. I was school dinners then I went into, so that I was here in the morning and here in the evening. And I was here when they were in school, home from school.
Yes. So. But there was no bar in the factory for them to go back to?
Oh, no. No.
No. And what about, was there any childcare facilities?
No, 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 nothing like that. No. No.
I was going to ask you about unions. Were there... was there any union in the factory? Do you know which one it was?
GMBU, I think it was. Yes, I was with that union.
Right. Were you all members of the union?
Yes, yeah.
And do you remember any disputes or strikes?
Oh, yes, it was strike. But the strike didn't come until I was up in Welsh Trust.
All right.
It didn't come in when I was in Sawbells, you know. Oh. They were out on strike for a few days. It's all out up there over the dispute or something about the work. But no, I wasn't out on strike for long or anything, you know. But we were with the GMBU, always in the union.
You told me that you used to go to the other factory and you could negotiate your way yourself. Mm. Did the union used to do that for you, or did you do that yourself?
Well, we did that ourselves, because at that time when we started, the union wasn't there.
Oh,
but it came then, not long after.
Right.
But when we used to see about that ourselves, just tell our foreman, Mr. Bowen, and we tell him then that, you know, we weren't happy with what was happening. But of course, when the union came, they sorted everything out for us then, if there was any dispute to do with the money, you know, which is a good thing then, you know.
Were you glad to see the union come then?
Yeah, because they were always there to help us, like, you know, if we needed it. And I think, you know, we all thought that everybody should have been in the union, because that's what it was about, wasn't it, at the time, you know? So, if there was any dispute, then they would sort it out, like, you know.
Did you think that the workers were, on the whole, did you think you were fairly treated?
Yes, I think so. At the time, we thought we were anyway, you know. I mean, we never thought anything different, really. We just knew that we just went to work, did our job and came home, and this is what it's about. I mean, everything is so different today, isn't it? You know, I think. You know, there's a lot more disputes over things today, isn't there, you know? Maybe it's... I don't know whether it's for the good or for the bad, to be truthful with you know, the way things are. There's so many people putting claims in for different things and everything. I don't think they're fair today in the way they treat the nurses and things like that, you know. But that's another story, isn't it, you know. You know.
Did you get on, did you personally get on with the supervisors and the managers?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It was okay with
them. We got on great with them.
Yeah.
I got to say that, yeah.
Did you ever become a rep or anything yourself?
I became a forewoman for a while.
Right.
But I would prefer to be on my machine, so I asked to come off it.
Right.
And I came back on the machine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it wasn't my way to go and tell people how to do things then, and be in charge. I would rather be somebody telling me. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the other conditions in the factory? How was the factory heated? You know, was the heating okay?
Oh, yes, yes. We had the heat in there. Yeah.
Was it nice and cool in summer and hot in winter?
No problem with that.
What about the lighting then?
Oh, plenty of light in there. Yeah. Like I say, we never worked in daylight because there was hardly any windows then, you know. It was all closed up, so it was always under artificial lighting then, wasn't it? You know. But that's the way it was. We never thought of anything different about that anyway. Because the majority places were like that in the factory, like.
What about the canteen and things? Was that good?
Yeah, yes, good. Big canteen, plenty of food, you know. But a lot of us took our own food with us, like, you know.
Did you ever eat in the canteen?
Not often. I used to have better food with my mother, like, you know. They'd call me Paddy's Butterfall. Do you remember that in Abercombe? There used to be Paddy's, and they used to make their own cakes and bread and everything where I was living. And the cakes were beautiful. And I used to take four of those in a box every day. So I don't think the way things are with your diet today, they would approve of that. But as you can see, I haven't got much meat on me, and I've eaten like that all my life. But the thing is, you know, I think today it's all this business of telling you what to eat and what not to eat. You know, I grew up on eating bread, dripping, salt sandwiches. And it was wonderful, wonderful. Homemade pies with the egg cup in and the thick pastry, oh, beautiful. But today, I tell my grandchildren, oh, Nanny used to love dripping and so, oh, you know, the thought of it, isn't it? But it was lovely. Oh, you never heard of that, had you? Had you?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It was lovely, mine, wasn't it?
What about the other facilities, toilets, restrooms? Were they good?
Yes. Yes. Everything was good. You know, there was. Everything was okay as far as I was concerned. Then, you know, no problems there. You know, everything was all right. Like.
What about the smokers? Were they allowed to smoke in the factory, or where did they smoke?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they smoked when they worked. They had to do that in their lunch time, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
In the canteen then?
No. I think it was outside. Everything was smoking outside, like, you know. I can't remember. I've never been a smoker myself, so I wouldn't know, you know, really think about that. But I can't remember anybody smoking in the factory then, you know. During working hours then, you know. Because he wouldn't be able to unseat the machinery and coils and soldering different things, would they, you know, really? So I can't even remember if there was smoking then, you know. So.
Yeah. How was the relationship between the women workers and the male workers?
All right.
Yeah?
Yes, you know, we all used to do the jobs. I mean, there wasn't any men around where I was working, only the man used to come and repair the machines, or the man used to come around sweeping the floor. And then, like, my husband in the beginning used to come around and they'd file your irons and things. But, yeah, the relationship was all right, like, you know.
Was there any kind of harassment on either side?
Oh, no. No, never had anything like that.
No,
not that I can remember anyway, you know. So.
Were you paid the same as the men? I mean, was it an issue about equal pay ever?
No, there was no issue about men. I mean, I suppose men used to earn more than the women, didn't they, then?
Yes.
But, I mean,
you weren't aware of...
Weren't aware of anything like that, you know, of wages with the men or the women, like, you know. I thought it was never discussed, really, like, you know. No.
What about holidays, then? Did you have... What kind of... Did you have... how much... did you have paid holidays and how...
We used to have a fortnight off then, a fortnight's holiday, in, like, August, July and August. Last week in July, first week in August, mostly the holidays were. And we'd have a fortnight off then, like, you know.
Did the factory used to shut then?
They used to shut then for a fortnight.
So it was like the miners'
holiday. The miners' holiday, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody went wherever they had to go then.
And that was a paid holiday?
Yes, so. Yeah.
And what did you used to do on a summer holiday?
We'd go on holidays then, you know. I remember going up to Slough to my grandmother, me and my friend from Glenheath. We went up there on the bus. Took us nearly all day to get up there, you know. We went, like, say, 7 o'clock in the morning and got there 7 o'clock in the night, you know, to go to Slough. And we'd spend a week up with my grandmother, and we went up to London. They took us up to London for the day, you know, to Buckingham Palace. They saw that.
With your grandmother now?
Me and my friend. Met our other friends. They came up for the day as well.
Right.
And, well, they were day and night travelling just to come up, you know. But, and then I'd go away with my friends then for a holiday.
Where would you go with your friends?
We went to Clacton-on-Sea for a week with her mother and father. And Eileen and me, my friend Eileen Carter from Glenheath. So we spent a week up there with them then, like, you know. Yeah, it was lovely. And then... I was courting my husband then, like, in it, and he had a bike, a push bike. And so Evelyn then, my friend living in the street where my brother lives, where I was born, we'd go down on the bus to Porthcawl, and John and Trevor, his mate, used to cycle down to Porthcawl, and we'd meet down there. Well, by the time we'd get there, we'd have about an hour, and then we'd have to come back, like, you know. It was like going to London for the day, wasn't it, you know? Yeah. That was a difference today, you know.
Yeah. What about bank... Did you have bank holidays then, as well?
Oh, I can't think about bank holidays. I can't be sure. I know we used to have that fortnight. I used to look forward to that, like.
What about Christmas? What did you have off for Christmas?
Oh, we never had weeks off for Christmas, you know. I think we only had, like, Christmas Day and Boxing Day off, like, you know. It wasn't a case of, you know, you're having a week or a fortnight for Christmas now, like you did then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the same when you were in school, I think. I don't think we used to have 6 weeks holiday when we were in school then.
Didn't you?
You know, and a fortnight, then a week, then another fortnight. We never had any of that, like. So, but there you are.
So, tell me then about the social life. Were there any social activities that you organised in the factory, you know, by the workers?
No, not really. No. We never did trips or anything, you know, when I was working there anyway, you know. Just that, excuse me, what we did, we earned to, you know, we'd meet up and we'd go to dances and things. Like, a few of my friends from the factory lived in Glenheath. So I'd go down to Glenheath for the weekend and stay with their parents then.
Right.
And we'd go to the dance then in the welfare down there.
Right.
And then they'd come up and stay with me and we'd go to the welfare in Aberarmon.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
But that was the highlight of our social life, was going to the dance on a weekend then, you know.
Was it live music in the dancing?
Oh, yes. We used to have a band. Billy Butler used to be in the welfare in Aberarmon.
Oh, right. Yeah. Was he local?
Yes, he was living in Aberarmon.
Right. And what kind of music did they play?
Oh, well, in the mood and all that kind of thing in it, you know. And the Whispering Foxtrot we used to do, and the tango and things. And girls used to dance together, like me and my friends. Even though our boyfriends were with us, we'd dance together. I mean, you wouldn't do that today, like, would you, you know? But, yeah, we used to have a good time. We used to go to the welfare, you know. And my father used to say to me, I was engaged. I was 20, 21 when I got engaged. And my father used to say to me, home straight from the dance, I had to come in by 9:30. And I was engaged at 21. I got married when I was 22. But I still had to be in by 9:30, and he'd be waiting for me, you know. He was strict, my father was, mind, you know. And he used to say to me, it isn't what happens in the dance, it's what used to happen when you come out. And I said, I couldn't understand what you meant by that, because you're naive, aren't you, at that age? But, yeah, that's the social life for us, was going to the dances. We used to go around everywhere, the Gwalior in Mountain Ash, we used to go to. We used to go to the welfare, we used to go to Glenheath, you know, go around like that. It used to be lovely.
How did you get home from... how did you get... You used to stay in Glenheath, but yeah. What about Mountain Ash and Aberaman?
Oh, we'd go to the dance at 6, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then come out at 10, and then we'd either catch the bus home or walk home, or we'd go to the cinema, you know.
Yeah.
And then it used to be 2 shillings and 3 pence to go upstairs in the cinema, in the Palladium. So my husband used to have 5 shillings pocket money, and he'd have 2 2-and-3s upstairs, show off, because he wanted to take me upstairs. And he'd have, that'd be 4 and 6, and then he'd walk down and he'd buy 2 Mars bars, 3 pence each. And that was his pocket money gone. But he would never tell me that. He'd always, when we'd go out to meet the next night, he'd say he'd forgotten his wallet because he didn't have no more money. But it used to be lovely. But 2 2-and-3s upstairs, like, and oh, dear, dear.
Did you used to have, was there a Christmas party at Sobel's?
Oh, yes, we used to have a Christmas dance.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. And where was that then?
That was in the canteen.
So that was during the day, was it?
In the night. No, in the evening. Yeah. And then we'd have to have transport to get up there then, you know. And then to get back down, like, in it, you know.
So did that only happen Christmas?
Only on a Christmas, yes. We'd have a Christmas get-together, everybody.
So did you still have a live band there and things?
No, we used to have records then, see. Yeah, we never had a live band, like, in it.
What did you do about clothes? Did you used to save your pocket money to buy clothes?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah. I used to save the pocket money, you know, or my mother would buy something then, you know, like, you know. I mean, I saved my pocket money to get my wedding dress. But my father bought my veil. I remember that. And that was in town in opposite the Palladium. I can't think of the name of the shop now. It's gone out of my mind. And that's where I had that, you know. When you think of it, isn't it? Like it's something like, say, £20 or £25 is a lot of money, whereas they do 2,000 today, don't they, or more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then I still got my veil today, mind, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about it, all those years, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long did you stay in Sobel's and why did you leave?
Let me see now, 30, 25. I was 12 years in Sobel's and I left then to go to Welsh Trust because there was a job going up there. And not because I wasn't happy in Sobel's, but because, well, I had other friends up there as well and my husband was working up there, isn't it? So that's why I went up there to work then, like, you know. And I was 5 years up there. And then I finished then when I had my son. We had our son. And I never went back then to the factory in it, you know.
Were you given more money up at Welsh Trust?
Yeah. I had more money up there then because I was training people on those machines then up there, you know.
Did you enjoy the training as much as the working?
Yes, I didn't mind it at all, because I was quite used to doing it then, like, isn't it, you know? And, like, I think, well, we all got to learn, haven't we? So, you know, this is what it is about. Yeah.
Did you have a leaving gift from Sawbells?
I had wedding gifts off all the people I were working with, you know.
But not from the management.
They never give gifts then, I don't think, you know. When I finished in the school, I had a gift, you know, because I'd been there for 20 years, like.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think they did anything like that back in those days.
So you got, but you got married when you were still at Sawbells, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, what was the difference between the factory you went to and Sawbells, you think?
Well, it was a smaller factory to start with. There was only about, I don't think there was 100 people working there, you know. I liked it there. It was all right, but I think my heart was in Sawbells then. That's where I started. That's where my friends were, and that's where my friends are today then, you know. So that's really the place that I would call my best working place then, you know. But I didn't mind working in Welsh Trust, but that's where my heart was really, you know, is in Sawbells then.
And can I just ask, was it exactly the same work? I mean, not for you, because you were training.
But yeah.
Was it exactly the same work in Welsh Trust?
Oh, no.
Oh, they were doing
coils winding, because they were doing wirelesses, but it was mostly for deaf aids and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. It was a different line then, really, of work. But they needed the coils for what they were training on these machines, like, mm-hmm. you know. So, but like I say, all in all, it was my working life was a happy life then, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just ask, when you were working at Sawbells, did you buy a television set?
No.
Could you afford to buy a
set? No. We could only just afford to buy that little Bakelite wireless, you know.
How did you feel about that? Did you mind?
No, didn't worry me. A television never worried us. We were happy with the wireless. We didn't have a television till we had our children. And that was years, like. We'd been married 9 years before we had children. But it never bothered us. Because we were never in. We used to walk every evening. We used to go for walks. Always walking we were, you know. So it never bothered us staying in to listen, watch a television then, you know. And like we were saying earlier on, today, children have got apps and computers and you name it, Xbox. To me, I don't think it's a healthy thing at all. I think it's get out in the fresh air, they should, you know. It's not a case of saying children are overeating today and different things. It's the exercise it is. It's go out and play. You never see children. On a Christmas years ago, I know I'm saying about a different thing now, children would be out with their prams, their bikes and their scooters. Not today. You don't see anybody out on a Christmas. It's all with the fingers today, isn't it? You know? And I think that's where the problem is, myself. Right? So, that's my point of view anyway.
So you finished in the factories forever when you had your children?
Yes, yeah.
How do you feel now, you know, looking back about the years you worked in factories?
Oh, I thought they were wonderful years. Wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of it. And as I say, when you pick up with a good bunch of people, like I was fortunate to do, then that makes your life as well, you know. And as I say, the highlight of it all was that I met my husband there. And I couldn't have wished for anybody better than that. So that's what made my life then, you know. Yes, as I say, if I had my time over, I would do exactly the same as what I did then. Yeah.
You said over the years you kept in touch with your friend. Have you met up with each other very often? Was it a regular thing?
No, this is it. We used to send Christmas cards every year to each other. And then one of our friends was emigrating to Australia. And they said, oh, let's have a reunion, we said. So we all met up in Rickos. And we had a meal, which were those photos I showed you. And then the friend then went to Australia. She came back because her sister was ill and asked, could we meet up? I said, yes, we'll come up here then, because he wanted to meet halfway. So we all met in my house and we had a lovely day here. And then when she was going back to Australia, they all came back up to me again and we met up here. And we got in touch again. And then my friend in Australia passed away very suddenly. And we haven't met up since, you know. We speak on the phone. We send Christmas cards and a letter in it to tell us what's going on in our lives. And then, and as I say, we're hoping to meet up now to go and see Aino, the one who's 90 now this year. So we were hoping to go up and see her. Our the one friend, you know, because she can't get about much, Mary, you know, that's why she couldn't come out. How she's going to manage to go up, I don't know. Unless we go up to her house and go on the bus with her, I don't know. But we'll try and meet up anyway, hopefully. Because it's nice to keep in touch, isn't it?
When you had that reunion, how many years had gone past from you leaving the factory to the reunion?
Let's see, say 30. Must be about 30 years. In actually seeing each other, keeping in touch with cards and letter, you know, writing a few things, but actually seeing each other. And we just walked in, naturally, you're going from long black hair to white hair, the majority of us, except one or two had dyed their hair, like, you know. But otherwise, it was as if we were meeting up last week then, you know, we just got together and that was it, like. It was wonderful, yeah.
Do you think there was a special camaraderie in the factory?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. Some lovely, lovely people, I tell you that now. And I always stand by that because, like I said, there's factories, some factories had quite a name, and the different people working there. I can't say that. I thought it was wonderful myself anyway, you know. I wouldn't change it. If I had to go back over the years again, I'd do exactly the same thing. I meet up with the same people. It's lovely.
Can you tell me then about the time of motion people?
Well, they'd get somebody down from the office, one of the men, and he'd sit by you while you were doing it.
Yeah.
Now, you had to make sure you were doing it and at the speed that you normally go. Perhaps if you felt you were going a bit quicker, they would give you your target on that speed you were going, the top speed. And if you didn't make that target then you'd get somebody down to see to you, you know. Why are you so behind in your target? But you can't always keep that same speed up. But they couldn't see that then. Also, if for some reason something would go wrong with the blade, that the paper wasn't cutting right. So you'd have to pull it out and cut it yourself and then make sure the rollers going even. But they wouldn't understand that. So then the union would come in and sort it out for us. I forgot about that. They'd come down then and they'd, the union would stand with you, with them, to make sure that we were doing it the speed we're supposed to be doing with all the troubles that go wrong. Yeah.
Did you find that oppressive?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Because, you know, like I say, we were doing our best to do our work the speed we normally do, but you couldn't, it wasn't your fault that things were going wrong, which they couldn't understand then, until it was explained to them, and then it was sorted out then, like, and but, oh yes, you used to get the time of motion down with you straight away then, when you do something new, like, you know.
Were they part of the factory, or were they people they got in?
Oh, they were part of the factory, they were employed as that, see. Time of motion study, they were called, weren't it? Yeah. You know.
And yeah. Did you see them often around the
When we had to get, you know, they'd fix up different targets then, wouldn't they? And they'd want more production and find a way of putting something new on your machine to say, well, this was going to make it 10 minutes more onto the time, off the time and things. But things had to be worked out, didn't they, you know, in that way.
Was the union always helpful? Did they always kind of sort it out?
Yeah, the union was always there. Well, we always played the union, I got to say that, you know. Yeah.
Is that it was the General Municipal Boilermakers, was it, union? GMBU?
I don't know if it was that, a GMBU. Yeah. I think it was, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was everybody in the factory in the same union?
Yes, I think they were. Yeah, we were all under the GMBU, you know. Yeah. Oh, we had to pay our union, you know. You had to make sure of that, didn't you, you know. So, yeah. So that's about it now, I think. I can't think of anything else.